So, over the years, from time to time, I've seen a painting or print that depicted this young lion cub, and he's standing there as proudly and as big and fearsome as a lion cub can. And right behind him, just a little ways back off his shoulder, is his father. Whatever menace there may be, would not be afraid of the lion cub. But daddy's here. I think that should encourage us this morning. Because daddy's here. The father's here. There's a reason why Jesus is one of the names he was given was he's the Lion of Judah. Over the last few weeks, I've shared in part about the serious fact that when we enter into prayer, as we pray, we have entered into a battlefield. We often think of prayer as being a very peaceful place, a very quiet place. And in many respects, it is. It can be and should be a place of peace for us. But when we pray, when we begin to intercede for others, when we intercede for the kingdom, for the witness of the church in this world, we have entered into battle. We wage war, and as Paul puts it, not with weapons of this world, but we are battling against principalities and powers of the heavenly realms. It's a very real battle. It is one that we should not enter unadvisedly. How encouraging to know that we don't enter it alone, because he stands with us. And he stands at the ready to answer our call. Which is why I would have us to focus on two essentials for prayer that should give us encouragement, that should embolden us in our prayer. I was visiting with Bob Rank this morning, and he says sometimes we pray for the littlest of things, when we could be praying for so much more, and how true that is. I would pray in 2025 that we wouldn't just survive, I pray that we thrive. A very different thing. And that's not only true for us as a congregation, but in our own lives, in our own experiences, we serve a big God. Remember the passage I read at the beginning of the service? Jesus mentions one of those essentials in that passage today that Jim read for us. Did you catch it? He said that you and I have been given authority by Jesus. Authority. ask you to remember that over in Matthew 10, that Jesus called his disciples together. He was getting ready to send them out on their very first ministry mission. And he told them, I give you authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Gosh, Preston, they didn't even have a degree. Jesus, when he said that, and as you'll recall in other places, he is telling us to, here in this passage, to pray in his name. To do so is to pray with his authority as we lift up our concerns and requests and intercession. And as we do so, aligned with his will and purposes for those things we pray. And of course, we would want his will. We would want his purposes to be fulfilled. We would want the kingdom to bear fruit. We would want to see lives transformed and changed. We'd want to see lives salvaged, restored, renewed, redeemed. And to pray in his name is like saying, Father, sickle. He says, remember in 1 John, in his first letter to the church, he wrote, you can ask any for anything in my name and I will do it so the Son can bring glory to the Father. Peter took him at his word, dumb fisherman. Remember in Acts 3? I mean, this isn't long after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Peter and John have made their way to the temple courts, and they run across, well, not literally run across him, but you know, they come upon a lame beggar, and the beggar's asking for some alms just so to support himself. That's what beggars had to do. But he said to him, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And as the old chorus based on that text reads, he went about leaping and walking and praising God. Bet you there was a party. Allow me to make the point that of emphasis here that is found in the original language by those two words, gave and authority. It's very easy, it's very clear, but we don't live into it so easily. It's like God's telling us to hit the gas, and we're trying to think, no, I better hit the brake. We're not so sure about this God. But he is saying that he has delegated his authority to them, to those disciples, that they are to act on his behalf. To go about doing these marvelous and wondrous things. And Paul gives this wonderfully powerful image of what it means to live as a follower of Jesus Christ. Because now he says, and God raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. You remember Jesus was raised up, he ascended to heaven and sits at God's right side. That's what it says in Acts, and that's what it says in our creed. And what does that mean? But that Jesus is given the place of power and authority. And he says, we are seated with him. We are given that same authority. Jesus in Ephesians 1 is being described as being above every rule, over every authority, over every power and dominion and title, now and forevermore. And Paul reminds us later in the Philippians that there will come a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. What is that saying? It is they finally get it. They finally recognize his authority over their lives, over the world. He tells them this they can do. And who is them? Who are they? Well, they include us. Have you been told that? Have you been reminded that as a follower of Christ, that you can live into that? Many texts refer to what Jesus did. I just want to give you a little feel for what he is calling us into. Do you remember Isaiah 61? That right there at the beginning of that chapter, Isaiah is declaring what the Messiah will do, what his ministry will achieve in the world. It's a wonderful summary of Jesus' ministry. He says, you will go to proclaim good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom to the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort those who mourn, provide for those who grieve, to bestow a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of despair. That's our job description. And John said, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even what? Greater. Now, I just got to say, we read that word and we sometimes miss what is intended to be. The Greek says, but when you translate it, it loses the punch, it loses the direction. It wasn't, I mean, gosh, Jesus just rose from the dead. So, and he rose others from the dead. Not saying we couldn't, not saying that, but the intent of the greater is that because we are given his authority, then the number, the breadth, and the depth of what Jesus can do in the world is increased through you and me, as we are conduits of his amazing grace. Are you excited yet? There's so much more possible than what we sometimes limit our prayers to. You see, not only is it about our prayer, it's about our living. We can move out boldly to not only stop the enemy of our souls, but to overwhelm his forces. Remember, Jesus said that he'll break through the gates of hell. Well, guess what? We're on his team. And what's amazing is, friends, this isn't just a, well, that's limited to special people. No. It's all of us who are followers of Christ. And this is probable in our prayer life and in our living if we have, here's the first essential, faith in Christ. Do we trust in what he said? He said, I give you authority. When I was ordained, the bishop laid his hands on my head and said, take thou authority. And I want to help you remember that faith is not mere belief. Remember what I said about what I quoted Peter a couple of Sundays ago? Peter says, you know, well, the demons believe, but they shudder. It's more than that. It's walking into the life. It's following Jesus. So the first essential is faith. The second one is power. Power. Now, when I say power, I'm not talking about brute spiritual force. I'm not talking about lobbing spiritual bombs. But the power that is the scripture is pointing to, what Jesus is talking about, is a power that is of enablement that he gives us through the active presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus told his followers, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. It comes in that order. It's why in John we can see Jesus telling his disciples that the incredibly good news that he wasn't leaving them, but that he and the Father would send the Holy Spirit. You'll be enabled. And through him, we are able to overcome and defeat the spiritual forces of this world. It's power. The Greek word there, power, is the same word we get the word energy from. You know, just as I hope this gets at it. I should have checked with Webb first, but I didn't. But electricity can provide power to a motor to do its function. And in that way, the Holy Spirit provides his power to us so that we can do the works of Christ in the world. Does that help? You don't see the power unless you make a mistake with a screwdriver. You don't see the power coming into the electric motor. So I've been told. I've not experienced it, right? And y'all wonder why I'm off. Anyway, so the Holy Spirit provides us his power so we can do Christ's work in the world. He supplies the power for it. Jesus is calling us to throughout the day, every day, so that when we meet people, it's not just us. He's with us. Better yet, because we're talking about the Holy Spirit now, he's in us. And when with him in us, Our roar is not meow. It is roar. And what's more, he provides that dynamic power to give us the fruits of the Spirit. Cooperate with the Spirit in allowing Him to shape us, to inform us, to form us and move us. And if we follow His promptings, that power enables us then to bear the fruits of the Spirit. The Christ-like qualities of life to be born in our daily lives. And there's another word for that. When you see that on a person, when you see it in their lives, what do you call that? It is witness. You see, that's what stood out to the people in the early church, to the pagans and those outside looking in. They saw those folk who were in the worst of straits, in dire circumstance, and yet their lives were lived differently. And most importantly, they could see in them love for each believer and for those even outside. Witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. I would think it's pretty safe to say that we likely would admit that our great need for His power, would we not? If we're to experience a fruitful life and to do what needs to be done through our individual lives and through our life as a body of believers, we need His power. But it goes hand in hand with that other essential of faith. You see, it requires us to act upon it, to step into it. Y'all remember that scene, right, from Raiders of the Lost Ark where this is the later of the series, but, you know, Harrison's character, Indiana Jones, is looking for he's going through the cave there looking for the Holy Grail, the cup of Christ. And he comes to that place where he comes up to what appears to be the very edge of this great chasm. And he's been reading his notes that it was in his farthest journal about how to get through this the series of caves and the series of obstacles and death traps that were in the way. And he comes to this and says, a man of faith will take the step. Well, friends, you know, I know there's times in our lives, I know you've experienced it, I have, that it looks like we're getting ready to take a step and there's nothing there. I remember ever so vividly what he did. He closed his eyes and put his leg out straight and went boom. He couldn't believe something was solid there. And that's when it be. That's then when he was able to begin to see that there was something that had been provided for him to get across. There was something solid to walk on. And so it is in our lives. We have the power that he has given us available to us, but faith unleashes it. It enables us to move forward. This isn't prosperity gospel stuff. Please hear me. Faith is that evidence of the things not seen. It's taking that step to be who he's called you to be in that moment. And it's in places and times when we're not comfortable. It isn't us to do what he's calling us to do. It's not something we might naturally do, but he calls us into that place. And as we get ready to come to this table to receive these elements of grace, you do so in faith. They are a sign of a spiritual work within us. There's nothing magical about the bread and this juice here. But they're signs of God's work. And we trust him in that. In receiving that, we accept what Jesus has given us. So likewise, let us then accept by faith the power to pray prayers that are huge, that are visionary. We have a small group of people who are who are praying a really huge prayer. We are praying to meet a desperate need that is needed for our community, and that is the establishment of a Christian school that is taught in the traditional classical way. In some ways, it's going back 150 years. But it's really a great step forward, because we will actually not only be educating with rich content, but that we would also be forming young boys and girls who will become men and women who are great citizens and know why. And who have the Christian character and virtues to impact the community. I mean, we're blessed. We have a facility that we can use and put it to good use, and it'd be great. But we're thinking about an administrator. We're thinking about teachers. We're thinking about equipment. You begin to look at governance. There's a lot that goes into this. But the need is huge. I had a young mother tell me just day before yesterday, please, please do this. She said, myself and some other mothers I know are deeply concerned about putting our children in the school district. Such are the times we're in. And so we pray a big prayer. God, help us establish this. Help us do this. We know it's aligned with your will and purposes. And as you come today, pray the big prayer. But also be open. Ask the Spirit to help you identify any hindrances. What may block that? What may be blocking His work in you? And also pray that He would undergird your faith so that you would roar. Roar. Come with faith. Come today and rise in His power. Amen.